calling my name. Feel a good time coming, got a new song humming, and the sunset's doing this thing. Feeling lucky as a seven, yeah, sometimes heaven is a pocket full of payday green. And my face.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or on Apple or Spotify or Stitcher. And you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And so our returning champion of beer is here, not in studio, because we're all separated and hunkering down for the pending storm. But Chris Drosner, the Wisconsin Beer Baron, is back. He is also the Milwaukee Magazine editor at the Milwaukee Magazine, and he has authored the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal for the past 11 years. And you texted me during the show and told me that finals, you never graduated from college, because every time the print comes due, it's like being in finals again?
Yeah, this time of year especially, because we kind of stack an extra issue in here. And yeah, we're feeling the crunch right now. Those like stress dreams when you realize you didn't do any studying for the final or something. Yeah, still get those. It's great.
Well, thank you for making time for us if you're in crunch time right now. And so we're so happy to have you back. And so what's going on in Wisconsin beer news?
Oh, it's been a little bit slower the last couple months, which has been a relief from the fire hose that was the beer scene in September, October. So, but we got a little bit. I think this is one interesting story, a little out of season, but Liney's and the Brewers announced that they were doing that they are teaming up for a brew pub that's replacing the Friday's Front Row Grill, and then like the last couple of years it's been the restaurant to be named later, which is
I'm trying to think of where it is. Like, it's in
like,
the park,
you know, like the player to be named later so I guess they're naming it now, but it's a whole new concept. This is the restaurant space that kind of overlooks left field in American Family Field. I did it first time intentionally, not saying Miller Park. Nice job. Pat me on the head.
Good job. But it's so much easier to say Miller Park. Let's just all accept that Miller Park rolls off the tongue a lot better, but RIP. Anyways, continue.
That's right. I was big mad when they announced the new name. This is pretty interesting. It's a 3-barrel brew system, which is real small, the smallest one operated by Molson Coors, but they probably have small little pilot systems all around. But it's going to be making exclusive beers to the ballpark, you know, Liney's beers. They're going to have 48 draft lines. And this is interesting because they're saying that they're going to bring back, everything from like hibernated beers from, that they've made over the past, you know, several decades, to kind of new things that maybe you might not expect from Line and Kugel's, in this space, of course, which is exclusive to, you know, just to the ballpark. So that's kind of interesting. But like one of the things that they said they had a press release, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, or a press conference. And, one of the things that the brewers said, that Rick Schlesinger is their, operations manager. And he was like, this probably seems pretty obvious, you know, like have a brewery in the Brewers stadium. And he said that they've been hearing requests for this for a long time, and it makes so much sense, which is like fairly obvious. Yeah. And it also makes sense because like Molson Coors is the parent company of Line and Kugel's. That's who makes Miller now. That's the name of the company. And they actually have one of their biggest craft hits, beer wise, actually came from another ballpark brewery. It was Blue Moon was first made at the Sandlot in Coors Field in Denver. So they're well,
I did not know that
this concept. Yeah. And actually there's another one here in Wisconsin that just opened or is opening before, that's going to steal the thunder from the Lineys, it's called J. Leinenkugel's Barrel Yard is the official name of this brew pub. So, over in Oconomowoc at Wisconsin Brewing Company Park, which just happens to be the, you know, a brewery is also the naming sponsor of that stadium. It's home to the Lake Country Dockhounds, which is like a kind of not exactly a minor league, but like that kind of level of baseball, an independent club that they've been playing for, I think, 2 years. And actually, this might have been their first season. Forgive me if that's incorrect.
They have a
Wisconsin Brewing Company installed a 5-barrel brewery and tap room in there this fall. And they just fired up their first couple brews this fall. I think the second one was just last week or just this week. It's a porter, and they also brewed a Vienna lager. And that brewery is opening January 18th. And it's going to be just Wednesday through Friday until the baseball season starts. So kind of an interesting concept that I'm not going to say that the Brewers like stole this idea from this little tiny baseball club right in their shadow, but you know,
maybe they did. Yeah,
good idea.
Like, who's going to know? Who's going to know we took this idea from these guys?
Absolutely.
So that's very exciting. I mean, I feel like you're right. It's probably a long time coming, potentially, as far as having a brewery inside of Brewers Stadium. But that's very exciting.
I think it makes too much sense for them not to do it. And it's kind of exciting. You know, Lineys has obviously the brewery up in Chippewa Falls, which is kind of a destination thing.
Yeah.
They've got a big tap room there and a relatively new pilot system that they're making small batch beers on. But this is, you know, I talked to Dick Leinenkugel last winter about that brewery, and they get requests all the time to bring back their Doppelbach that they did a few years ago, or like, you know, Sunset Wheat, the fruity wheat beer, you know, all these beers that people have, and they don't cycle in, you know, seasonally too often. So this gives them a chance to kind of on a smaller scale, bring back these greatest hits from the past, and then obviously try new things. And, you know, it's essentially a little pilot brewery where they can test concepts and see how much people like them and the execution of them. So,
and just, this is a quick aside. Is there any public access to the big red Leinenkugel's off of 43 that you can see once you're going north, or is it just a brewery and like no access, like public's not allowed in there?
There's no public facing aspect of that, but there is a very cool bar on the top floor of that building that's like for insiders and like entertaining.
Oh,
I might have been up there for
they had a beer event
up there for a beer release like quite a few years ago, and it was really cool. There was like sunset time, so there's like sunset streaming into the, you know, the west facing windows, and it's a pretty nice vantage point and a very cool bar.
All right. Well, let's add it to the bucket list. Important enough to be invited there. We're talking to Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine, and is also the Wisconsin Beer Baron in the column he writes for Wisconsin State Journal. So what are some of the holidays coming up? What's in your rotation for festive brews?
Yeah, this is a fun one. This is a fun season to drink beer, I think. Not just like... that sounds kind of weird, but like, you know, the beers that are in season right now tend to be a lot of fun. And, you know, the general class you might think of kind of like, there's not a specific style that like represents winter beers or Christmas beers or anything, but they tend to be bigger, darker, you know, more alcohol content, a little bit more robust, as far as like, you know, filling you up and making you warm and tingly. For many, many years, Lakefront had a spiced winter lager, and more recently they did a barrel-aged version of a spiced beer that were really popular, and they stopped doing it. I'm not sure if it was last year that they stopped it, that they discontinued it, or if that was new this year. But there's been a little hole in a lot of Wisconsinites' hearts as far as these winter warmers go. So this year, I generally do not love these spice beers. Like, they, you know, they tend to have like cinnamon and ginger and nutmeg or stuff like that. A little bit similar in kind of DNA to the pumpkin, pumpkin beers that you see in fall. But, this year, I went back to an old favorite, the Christmas Ale from Great Lakes Brewing in Cleveland. Not a Wisconsin beer, but, it's so good. It's like 7.5% ABV. So it's pretty, pretty robust, and it uses, honey in the malt along with the malt. So there's a little bit of that kind of sweetness. And then that ginger cinnamon note is just, you know, you want to know that you're drinking a spiced beer, but you don't want to be overwhelmed by it. And I feel like that beer just has everything in the right balance of kind of that sweet, spicy, super drinkable too. Like that's been my problem with these beers, is that you have one of them and you're kind of laboring by the second half of the glass and don't want another one. But the Great Lakes Christmas Ale is one that I have in my fridge, and I am probably going to have to restock my six pack before New Year's Eve, because they're going down quickly.
Well, you have enough at least in that last through the weekend and the storm.
I do. And if I don't, there's a few other beers on hand that I'll
be. No, really?
My beer fridge is ridiculous. I TikToked, it was one of the two TikToks that I've done, was like a opening the fridge and kind of panning around and deciding which beer. And it was, I used the Spice Girls song, "Tell Me What I Want, What I Really, Really Want."
It was
exceptional content, and it got like 3 likes. So I've done 2 TikToks. Yeah.
After the show today, I will go find you on TikTok. I was not aware you're on there, and I will go like it as well.
A pity view. Thank you.
I'll do that too, Chris.
Oh my gosh.
And
doubled your likes.
Up on the views. Wow.
And by the way, now I think there should be a beer called Warm and Tingly, because I would buy that.
The associations with the word warm and beer, I don't know if that's going to go over well.
Well, she's married to an Englishman who, you know, they like their beer warm. So she probably got used to it. So when we come back from the break, we still have a couple more minutes. I want to talk more about supporting breweries, especially during the slow months. But before we do that, the season after the season for many of us, including myself, will be Dry January. Mm-hmm. And so are there any NA beers? Because I feel like the growth and the popularity of beer companies and breweries making non-alcoholic beers that taste good. So this is not your mom's O'Doul's, or what was the other one? Sharps?
Sharps.
Yeah. Yes. That's just not good. And so as people prepare to detox post-holidays, is there any NA beers that you think people should check out?
Yeah, this is not a space that I've done a lot of research in, but one of the market leaders for the entire country is actually a Wisconsin-based brewery. Untitled Art is based in Wanakee. They make all their beer at Octopi Brewing in Wanakee, and have a full line of like craft styles. So there's like an Italian Pilsner, there's a chocolate stout, there's a hazy IPA. And the way that they make these beers is they brew them like normal beers, and then they de-alcoholize. They take the alcohol out instead of making it with different ingredients, or, you know, only partially fermenting it and stuff like that. It gives you a different flavor. And alcohol definitely has flavor. So it doesn't taste exactly like, the same version of the beer with and without, but they're really almost indistinguishable from, you know, a Italian Pilsner or a chocolate stout. I mean, they're really good. I would also throw out, Lakefront has an NA version of their River West Stein, their amber lager. That's really good.
That's really good. I've had that one. I'm going to check out.
Yeah, it's interesting having them really side good. By side too. You really see how alcohol tastes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to take one more break before we wrap up the show. But when we come back, I want to support your local brewer with Chris Drosner. Stay with us. This is As Buzz Wisconsin.
Calling my name.
Santa Claus done got a taste of Lambo. He wears a cheesehead hat and his suit is now green and gold.
Green and gold.
He no longer chuckles a ho ho. He rides on a sleigh.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor at Milwaukee Magazine and is also the Beer Baron. The column that he writes for Wisconsin State Journal. You missed it yesterday. We had a contest, a very official thought out contest of the best Packers Christmas song.
I was listening. It was very entertaining. I thought you guys totally whiffed on how appropriate the joyous, what's the, I'm going to whiff on
it. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Yeah. The, joyous and faithful. It just plugs into the football sports fandom so well, you know, even without the lines.
My mom was trying to find it last night. She really wanted to play a set. So if Debbie had been voting, it would have been a tie. Cause that was my vote, was the pitchiness of reappropriating, that hymn. But
you gotta
anyways,
go with the cheese though. You gotta go.
That's
with the
true. This is the honky shop. It's a foot tapper, but, all right. So one of the things you had mentioned to me was, at post holidays becomes pretty slow for breweries. And so, like I said, some people are doing dry January. There's probably a lot of different reasons why business is a little bit slower, but you know, what can people do kind of to make sure help the lights stay on?
Yeah. The beer industry is I keep an eye on things, outside of just talking to, you know, human sources in the industry. And one of the really interesting ways you can do that is by looking at the reports that they file with the state on how much beer they're making month to month. They have to file monthly reports. And it is shocking. And this varies from brewery to brewery, depending on what their product mix is and stuff, but it's shocking how much, how those numbers vary between, say, January and February versus like June, July, September, May, you know, the high points versus the low points. And this is really the doldrums for the entire industry. And not, I say industry meaning like brewers, but also like, I think bars and mm-hmm. restaurants are down in January and February too. So, you know, you remember how we all felt about, maybe this is kind of my own little bubble of the pandemic, but during, you know, we were so intent on supporting businesses. You remember the long lines for like drive-through beer pop-ups at breweries and stuff while COVID, while everything was shut down. I mean, people mm-hmm. were legitimately worried about losing breweries and things. And, you know, of course all businesses, but there's something about breweries that there's an emotional attachment to these kinds of businesses in ways that you see with restaurants and bars. And I think, you know, people have really personal connections to these businesses. So we're losing breweries, you know, in the Brewers Association, which is the trade group for kind of craft brewers, smaller independent brewers, put out their kind of a year in review thing. And there's 550 new breweries this year. But there are also 200 plus closings, and that's a figure that they did not report last year. And so I'm not sure if it's more or less, but the pain of from the business standpoint of that's kind of still pushing through these businesses systems of all that lost revenue. And you know, things are not quite back to where they were, you know, as far as particularly as far as draft, which is where you make, which is a much higher margin for brewers than packaged beer. So I think, you know, the Brewers Association talks about the challenges that they see ahead, and they're expecting the lowest number of openings in more than a decade. So you're probably going to start seeing fewer new breweries. The volume they expect to remain flat, although, you know, they do expect the employment to grow a little bit still. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed picture, but, you know, I think back to this, particularly in January and February, I think back to those days when we were going to the brewery and buying beer there. And now, I mean, you can have a pint at the bar, at the tap, in a tap room. That is always the best way to support a brewery. That is the highest margin for them. Go there, have a couple pints. You can also buy beer to go from their cooler. There's a significantly higher margin for the brewery there versus, at the grocery store. I mean, of course, the choices you make there support them too. But it's a completely different order of magnitude on what you're doing as far as supporting that brewery. Buy it, you know, if you just want to stop in, or if you're on dry January, maybe buy a hat or a sweatshirt. And, you know, there's other ways to support breweries besides just drinking their beer.
Yeah.
And, but I think the biggest takeaway should be go to the brewery, show them your love directly. And by love, we mean money. And not, of course, not every brewery is like on the ropes or anything, but you know, you're making a decision about, just think strategically about it. What do I want to support? What do I want to make sure does not go away? Because that's the way to think about it in January and February. And, you know, we've seen breweries in Wisconsin close in the last couple of years. And, you know, we're not quite out of the woods yet.
Yeah. And I think what I've learned since moving back to Wisconsin, starting the show, talking to you, having different, we had Matt Siz from Third Space Brewing. It's like, it's such a community. Yeah. And there's so many of these craft breweries that are, it's as much about community and giving back as it is about just the beer. And I've been so impressed with how much collaboration there is, how much fundraising there is, like how many different events and community events that they do. And so, yeah, so your favorite brewery, make sure that you get out there and support them, because it's part of what makes this state great.
Absolutely. It's a culture and people care about that stuff.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Chris. It's always a delight to have you. This time next month, we'll have you back. And hopefully there'll be some more news. Maybe it'll be slow, but I'm sure we can figure out some game to play if there's less news to talk about.
We can find things to talk about, Chris.
I think so too.
I know we can.
I think so too. All right. Well, TBD. We'll see how the storm is for us tomorrow. Hopefully we will be here, but we're not going to make Jane drive through 40 minutes of blizzard. So if we're not back tomorrow, have a very happy, Merry Christmas. And if we are, come back tomorrow at 11. TBD. It's a surprise. It's a Christmas miracle. All right. Well, that will do it for us today on As Goes Wisconsin. Be safe. Stay tuned.
The chuckles, ho, ho, ho. He rides on the sleigh, shouting, come back, go. Call Santa Claus to get a taste of Lambo. Come on to Santa again now. Santa Claus to get a taste of Lambo. Even Rudolph's nose then turn green and gold.
Green and gold.
He no longer chuckles, ho, ho, ho. He rides on the sleigh shouting, go back, go. Call Santa Claus to get a taste of Lambo. One more time now, Santa Claus done get a taste of Lambo. He done backed up and moved away from the North Pole.
North Pole.
If you're looking for